Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you are listening again today from wherever in the universe you happen to be. With me is, this is an interesting story. I've been looking forward to this for a week or so, because not only is Kevin Vandekroll a neighbor, get this, he's a neighbor, but he has an interesting business. And what we've been doing over the past several months is highlighting business entrepreneurs who have either launched their business during the pandemic or saw business increases during the pandemic. And while Kevin didn't start his business in the past several months, he has seen some remarkable opportunity. Kevin, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful you've made the time, my friend.
Thank you.
You know, we've been neighbors. This is just so bizarre. We've been neighbors for a long time, and we've glossed over the fact about what it is that you do and what it is I do. You know, but we usually talk about kids and gardens and houses and, you know, family members and animals.
Yeah.
And until I dug into your website, which is fabulous, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm blown away by what it is you do. So, Kevin, let's put it into a nutshell. What in the world is ION?
So, kind of three different main things that I do. The biggest way to summarize it, I guess, would be to say that I design guitar effects pedals. And from there, I will sell kits and circuit boards to hobbyists, people who build their own guitar pedals. And so it's a very niche market that I have. I mean, most people that I talk to don't even know what a guitar pedal is. And then from there, even if they do, they might not even know that you can build your own. And so it's a very small community of people. It's, I mean, relatively speaking, it's about 40 to 60,000 people worldwide. And I sell probably about half of what I do domestic and half of it's international. But my primary market, or the people I sell to, are hobbyists and small quantity builders. And so it's kind of what I do is engineering work, but my market is not the end user. It's the people who supply to the end user, the people who build their own.
So what you're saying is that the guitarists, which there are hundreds of thousands of them, don't generally sit down with a soldering gun or whatever and put together their own pedal. Somebody out there sources it for them, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So, but you're the source for the equipment that goes into the pedal.
Pretty much, yeah. So I don't sell as many of the actual components themselves, but I do kind of the... So my mom was into sewing when I was a kid, yeah. And she would get patterns from the store, and then she would get the material from it. And I'm kind of the pattern designer. I'm the person who designs, you know, the template for it. I design the circuit board. I give people instructions on how to build it. And then in some cases, in the last couple of years, I've gotten into doing full kits. And so here's everything you have to put it together yourself, but here's everything you need, so you don't have to go and wade through these, you know, really dense engineering electronic component sites and everything. And so the kits have done really well. People love that. But that's kind of the best analogy I can think of, is me designing the concept behind it and doing the engineering work. And then from there, people can do it and build their own using kind of the template that I designed.
One of the things you said at the outset is many people don't know what a pedal is, a guitar pedal is. And I understand. I was a drummer for years and years. And I would see our guitarist, drag out these things and hit them with their feet and go, I don't know what the hell they're doing. But it was always interesting to me. But they were always purchased commercially. So, they'd go out to some music store someplace and get them. But this creating your own and sourcing the parts of it, I think, is fascinating. And you have, by the way, we will have links to Kevin's website in the radio blog. But one of the things that I think is so wonderful about what your website is, you've got this great 4.5-minute, 5-minute explainer video where you really drill down into the components that go into these guitar pedals and some of the interesting things that you've done as far as making it easy or easier to put together. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You know, like what? Rather than having to solder all the stuff together, you put it in wire harnesses already, yeah?
Yeah, and so kind of the idea behind it is that, like, when I first got started, I've been doing this about maybe 10, 11 years or so that I've just been, I started out as kind of a hobbyist, and I just messed up so much stuff early on. I started out just taking existing pedals and modifying them, breaking them, but experimenting just because I wanted, like, expensive stuff, and I wanted to hack my way into getting it for less. And I have this box that's sitting on my workbench that's this like box of failures, and I use it for spare parts. But for me, it's like a constant reminder because I see it, you know, every day, that my life would look a lot different today if I had given up early on when those things that are in that box, when they didn't work, instead of just kind of powering through it and figuring out what went wrong and just having this, you know, stubbornness of that's not going to get me down. I'm going to keep trying and trying and trying. And a year, you know, before I started figuring out like what I was doing wrong and how to understand it and how to do it right. But, and I had a lot of failures early on, but for me, it was just a matter of sticking with it. And when I decided to do these kits, I had this idea that, it was a really steep learning curve for me. And I had those failures. And what if I could make it easier for people to build their own, give them really rock solid, you know, build instructions, a lot of just resources that they would need to avoid those failures that I experienced. And so all of those things that I learned, all those lessons I've learned, I put that knowledge into this idea, into the ideas that went into the kits. So with the goal of making it so that somebody can get into it, and hopefully, I mean, it's still possible to screw it up, but hopefully get to the point where they can have a lot of success early on, and have fun doing it and build something that they're proud of.
Sure. And that way, by word of mouth, that travels to other people who are doing it. When people are putting together these kits that you perform, we're talking, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, with Kevin Vandekraal, about Ion, ion.com, and we'll have links to that up on the website. One of the things that you have to keep in mind, I would suspect, is every guitarist wants a certain sound or a certain thing. For you to make custom pedals, you'd have to get it right every time. And I would imagine that could be difficult. I don't know how many sounds a pedal can make. Maybe you do, but I would suspect that offering the kits so that they can build their own, or their supplier can, narrows that that failure rate. Yeah.
Yeah, and part of what I do too is I try to make almost everything that I do is kind of based on something else that exists, and so it's a way to. People have these shared ideas of all want it to sound similar to this kind of pedal that's already out there, or this or this. And so I'm not having to sell somebody on something that's completely without reference to the real world. It's more like, okay, you can build your own version of something that compares to this or compares to this or compares to this. And so I try to always, have that point of reference where somebody can come into it thinking, oh, well, if this pedal is based on that, it probably sounds similar to this other one I've played. And by having that reference, that they're more likely to be able to find something they're looking for, rather than just a, you know, kind of a esoteric idea of, well, I want it to sound kind of like this, but with a little bit more bass or a little bit more of this or that. And so there's that reference so people can find what they're looking for, know kind of what it'll sound like before they build it, choose the right one, and then end up with something that's what they expected.
All right,
that's probably better than what they expected, but at least meets what they're going for.
One of the things that people might be concerned about is quality. Because if you're selling components and kits, rather, for these guitar pedals, what do you worry about when it comes to the quality of the guts of what these kits are made out of?
Well, the problem is that there are, I mean, guitar pedals are it's such an interesting kind of industry, because like they haven't changed much in the last 40 years.
Right, right.
It's all of what I do anyway is analog. People still have this analog preference for certain types of guitar pedals where they haven't moved into the digital world that started in like the 1990s, but people are still stuck in this like analog mindset, which is great. But the problem with that is that analog is also very, very, very cheap to manufacture if you cut a lot of corners.
Sure.
And so you have, there are guitar pedals that you can buy at Walmart that cost $20-$30, and they're made of plastic. They're not reliable at all in like a band gigging situation. You're going to step on it, and the 10th time you step on it, it's going to collapse and you might be in the, you know, right about to, you know, rip into your big solo or whatever.
Yeah.
And
boom.
So it is very easy to get to make a guitar pedal, or very cheap, I should say, to make a guitar pedal that doesn't work very well, that's not very reliable. But it's still, I'm still having to compete against that. I'm still having to compete against these, you know, okay, well, do you want one that's built to last, that will still be working in 40 years? Like many, you know, vintage guitar pedals are today that were designed in the 60s and 70s are still rolling just fine. Or do you want something that you're only going to have, you know, for 3 years before you get something else, you know, like you would exchange, you know, a phone for the newer model or whatever. And so for me, when I got into it, I knew that, okay, my market, I'm not going to compete against the really, really cheap, like almost like they're made by like toy companies. I mean, a lot of them are actually manufactured by toy factories in China. I'm not going to compete against that. I'm not going to try to make my price point, you know, kind of in competition with that level of quality, because it's not even the same thing. People who are looking at my stuff, I'm not going to be able to compete on that. But what I can do is blow it out of the water on quality and reliability. And so my goal is that if somebody builds one of my pedals with my kits, that they will end up with something that is better quality than even what you could buy in a music store, you know, down the street. Because I use all these components that I've sourced myself. I you know, have these you know, my resistors and capacitors that are like audiophile quality, better than what you can normally buy at normal electronics component stores. And I think through every aspect of it to make sure that I'm using the best quality of everything, the best reliability, and that it's as hard to screw up as possible. And so if people do it, you know, in the ways that I tell them to, the end result is that their pedal should work better than one that they would buy at the store. Certainly better than one of the toy company ones, but better than what they could buy at the store that might cost $200, $300. And for mine, they might may have spent $75 on it.
Wow.
And so that's kind of my goal, is that you end up with something that it isn't a ton cheaper than some of the ones you can compare it to, but it's better reliability and the component quality is better, and you have the pride of building it yourself.
Yeah, and one of the other things is sourcing all of these parts that you're sourcing. That must have taken some time and some detective work as well, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yes, a lot of hitting Google Translate on, you know, Chinese or Korean websites to try to get in and find people who sell just what I want. But might be off the beaten path a little bit. A lot of, you know, just communication with different suppliers around the world, and getting some stuff, you know, custom made. Some of the components are things you literally can't get anywhere else because I had them manufactured just for me.
Wow.
And it's part of that. Like I'm not going to compromise on anything. And if the thing doesn't exist, well, let's make it, right? If it needs to have this and this doesn't exist, let's change that. So.
His name is Kevin Vandekrol, ladies and gentlemen, and his company is called Ion. You know, you made a comment earlier, and I think this is seminal to our discussion. You were talking about analog versus digital in the pedal world, in the sound world. But, you know, there's also a component to that that's really become hot over the past 5 or 6 years, and that's music. I mean, just, you know, digital versus vinyl, and how vinyl has just taken off, and how many recording artists are pressing to vinyl again simply because it's preferred by so many people. So there is kind of a, you know, it's an interesting link between those words.
It's all the same thing, and it really comes down to a lot of times analog has these imperfections in it, And people try so hard, and they'll get there eventually, but they try so hard to develop, to replicate those imperfections in digital, and they just haven't gotten quite there in certain places. And so digital can reproduce sound quality perfectly, but in the analog world, as with vinyl, you don't want that. You don't want the perfection in, right, in the reproduction of sound. You want those imperfections. People still use guitar amplifiers with tubes in them, which have been obsolete since 1970s, but it's because you can't get that tube sound without an actual, you know, vacuum tube that looks like a light bulb and that needs to be heated with, you know, 400 plus volts. Because that's where the sound comes from. Yeah, and so
I'm so into what you're saying. really, because, and again, that was the era that I was playing in a band. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, we would lug around these heavy amplifiers and all this other stuff. And one of the things, I have a friend that does custom music for people, and he just created a brand new set of sounds, music, for an mm-hmm. upcoming podcast that we're engineering for. And he used a sound in there that sounded just like a Hammond B3 with, you know, the Wurlitzer. And, you know, I just love that sound. I just love, and you,
yeah,
you know, to replicate that sometimes is very difficult in the digital world. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned this right at the beginning, you're doing domestic work. I mean, you're selling to individuals here in the United States, but you're also selling around the world. Is that accurate? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where the community, it's something that couldn't exist on a local level, really. Sure. So without the internet, without having this ability to talk to everybody in the whole world at once, I mean, like I said, the community of people who build their own pedals and who, you know, share ideas and who you know, loved just watching each other's work and stuff like that and just talking about it. It's 40 to 60,000 people across a few, you know, Facebook groups, forums, and that kind of thing. And it's a very vibrant, very active, very friendly community, but it's also a very global one because you're not, you know, there are probably, I think I've probably sold to 10 people who live in Iowa, you know, in the last like 10 years of doing this. There's nothing on a local level that could sustain a business, but you got this thing where the entire world is my market. And we have, you know, between, you know, all of the, you know, 8 billion people on the planet, 60,000 of them love to build their own guitar pedals. And so I have that as kind of my base or my market. But yeah, about half of them, it shifts, you know, every once in a while. And then as shipping situations like COVID has had an impact on global shipping and stuff. And so my shipping costs internationally have gone up, which means my percentage of international sales have gone down a little bit, but then domestic has gone. So this year is a little bit shifted, but in general, it's in the 40-60 kind of split, maybe half and half, depending as far as what I sell domestically versus international. Yeah.
How has, because people seem to, or that's what we have an understanding of, many individuals seem to have more time to do various things. How has COVID-19 impacted your business, Kevin?
So I hate to say it, but very positively. I mean, it is a global, like absolute disaster. And it is, you know, something that I would very, very much wish we could have avoided. But with that said, what I do is kind of a home-based leisure activity.
Yep.
And so it's also something that a lot of people have been like meeting to get into for a long time. Like, oh, I've always wanted to do one of those. My friend built a pedal, but I just don't have time to do it. Well, now you have time. And so it's something that like my sales have been up like probably like 30% this year over last year, which is like, I mean, I love it, but I don't like the situation that led to it, you know, like that. But it has been just a very interesting dynamic because this is the first year I've done this full time. I started last September. I quit my day job as a web developer and started doing this full time. And then this hit a few months later and I'm already working from home. It's a staff of one. It's just me. my family was already home. My kids, we had a nanny, and then my wife started working from home back in March. And so we are all five or six of us are at home, you know, all day. But I'm still able to, my day-to-day life didn't really change that much, except that I got a lot busier, when all this happened. And the whole, like the whole music gear industry has had the same thing happen where a lot more people are picking up a guitar, you know, cause they meant to do that for many years. And all of a sudden, like, no, now you got free time. And then a subset of that, people are buying more pedals, and then a subset of that, people are building more pedals. And so
it's all been good.
If you look at it in just that one lens, sure, of how has it impacted this business, it's been good. If nothing else, it's been a very memorable first year of me.
It's been memorable for all of us.
Yeah.
Kevin VandeKarl, ladies and gentlemen, he is a designer, builder, a guitarist, whom I never hear music come from his house, but he tells me he has headphones. Because he's got a house full of kids. I've really enjoyed this, Kevin. Thanks so very much for spending time with us.
You got it.
What a strange world, huh? That's my neighbor, if you can believe it. His name is Kevin VandeKarl, and Kevin's business is called Ion. And yes, we will have links to that business up on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Kevin VandeKarl, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.